from the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always love talking to Sophia Minert each and every Wednesday about the first place Milwaukee Brewers. Good morning, Sophia.
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Brewers are winning games, shutting out the Braves. What else could you ask for?
I know. So, yeah, I saw a stat that the Braves had not been shut out. They were shut out Sunday at home, and that was the first time they'd been shut out at home since 2021. So I'm very curious the last time the Braves were shut out in back-to-back games at home. It's got to be even longer stretch.
Oof, yeah, I would imagine. As the Braves Brewers series continues tonight, again, check out Sophia on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Sophia, who has stepped up, do you think, most offensively for the Brewers in the absence of Christian Yelich?
Man, I would almost say Willy Adames. That's an obvious one after last night with the two home runs. They've obviously been looking for somebody to kind of step up and provide some more consistency and production in that three spot, but they just don't have a traditional three spot hitter, and definitely, you know, not one like Christian Yelich. I mean, he's just a very tough bat to replace in that lineup. I would also say the way that Jackson Chourio has swung the bat in June, July, and now heading into August, Jackson has now put together like two really good months. It feels like he's really figuring things out. Rhys Hoskins is on a 11-game hitting streak. So I think there's a couple of individual guys that you can point to. I would say that probably Willy Adames and Jackson Chourio have put together the longest stretch. For Willy, he had a great month of July. And again, for Jackson, we're now talking about like a two-month period for him.
Sophie, in regards to Yelich, could they shelve him until the playoffs, or in baseball, do they need a ramp-up period? Can they just plug him in like they kind of do in football, where if a guy's banged up, they'll just sit him out three games? Or does he need 10 games to get up to speed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he would probably need some sort of ramp-up. You know, I mean, even to just have him DH, I totally understand the question. It doesn't work the same in baseball of like to be able to see live pitching, timing, how the back responds, obviously to going through a pregame routine and the swings that requires. And then obviously your swings in the game. Christian is still in the kind of rehab and treatment phase with his back injury the second time around. He's not with the team on this road trip. He stayed back in Milwaukee. So we'll see kind of where he's at when the team returns home. But that would be too long of a layoff. You'd be talking virtually 2 months of him sitting, and then to have him come in and face, you know, live pitching in the postseason, that's a tough task.
Sophia, when do you think we see Devin Williams make his return to the closer role? A couple of outings for him so far. They've been good outings. But when do you think they kind of have him ramped up and a full go where they feel comfortable trotting him out there in the ninth inning of tight games?
Yeah, look, I think it's close. I mean, I think the usage for Devin here the first week has been a little unusual, right? It was a full week in between appearances. I thought the first appearance he got at home against the Marlins was perfect, right? Coming in the ninth with a lead, had some room to play with, so to speak. And then it wasn't until a full week later that we saw him pitch Sunday in Washington. And at that point, it was just out of necessity. So part of that has just been a function of how the games have gone. You know, the Brewers obviously had a tough series over the weekend in Washington. But by all accounts, like, Devin has responded really well physically. He feels really good. Trevor Megill is obviously out. They do have some other options, but look, I think Devin is really anxious to get out there and be back out there in the ninth and in tight games and hopefully with a lead. But yeah, to get Devin back in those save situations would be huge.
Sophie, are they still trying to negotiate with Adamas to get a deal done, or is that kind of on ice until after the season?
Yeah, as far as I know, there have been no contract discussions here during the season.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, like football, you try to...
Oh, sure.
If you can, you wrap a guy up like that. But, I mean, my guess is, and I'm just spitballing, he's going to try and test free agency.
It kind of seems... Because the Brewers did make an offer during the offseason, right, Sophia? And they just couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah, there was no agreement there. And yeah, I mean, look, the way that Willie has performed, he's like any player. He's earned every right to test the market. We'll see what happens. You know, we talked to Willie about that at the trade deadline leading up to it, of just, you know, obviously he's a desirable piece for a lot of different teams. And he was confident at that point, you know, that he was not going to be traded. He's been very vocal about how much he loves Milwaukee and the team and the fans, and just, it's obviously been a great stretch for him here, you know, like coming over from Tampa in May of 2021. It's kind of hard to think about this Brewers team without him these last couple seasons. So we'll see what happens, but you know, for now he's with the team, he's thriving, you know, he's performing really well. I think the fact that he has started all 112 games is absolutely mind-boggling, and kind of tells you everything you need to know about Willie, about just how much he wants to be out there, and he knows how important he is to this team.
Sophie, how have we arrived at a point where Colin Ray is the Brewers' best starting pitcher? And I don't mean that in like a demeaning way. It's just, I don't think anybody had that at the beginning of the season, that here we are in the beginning of August and Colin Ray is 10-3 with a 3.38 ERA.
I know. He's been amazing. He really has been. And there's just like not a nicer guy on the roster. Everybody loves him. And you're right. I think just considering all of the turmoil that this pitching staff has gone through this season, like Colin Ray has been the most steady, the most consistent, the most reliable. The team has gone, I think it's now 14-5 in games that he has started. A couple of, you know, appearances out of the bullpen for him when they've gone to the opener a couple times. But the way that he's pitching right now, I feel like this is like the most locked in. This is like the best version of Colin Ray that we've probably seen over the last month or 6 weeks or so. You think back to the first week of July when he went 7 scoreless at Coors Field of all places. Now he comes back 7 scoreless against the Braves, you know, obviously here in Atlanta. You know, when I talked to William Contreras last night, he said it was just one of those nights where, you know, Colin Ray throws the kitchen sink at you, and if he has command of all of them, it's good luck to you as a hitter, because it's an impossible at bat to defend. When he's presenting 5, 6, 7 quality pitches to you, which for William Contreras, I imagine is a lot of fun to catch Colin Ray when he's on it like he was last night. So yeah, look, I think you even think back to last year. He was up and down 5 different times, and we forget that, but he was optioned up and down that many times and still pitched in 26 games for the team. So It's not surprising what he's been able to do, but again, I just think this is the most consistent and like locked-in stretch that we've seen from Colin at a time when the team really needs it too.
They have to be pretty happy with what they're getting out of Garrett Mitchell, right?
Yes. Yeah. Look, I think for Garrett, he's getting into his season, you know, like he's only been up a month now. He has not been starting every day. He's starting to get more opportunities now against left-handed pitching, but he, you know, he missed so much time and his career, truthfully, has just been really disjointed with all of the different injuries. So he really hasn't had like a consistent runway to sort of, all right, show us what you can do when you're healthy, right, for a long period of time. Not his fault, but that's just sort of the story of his career so far. So, yeah, the last 2 weeks have been great for him. I feel like you've seen really good swing decisions for him. He's been, you know, really focused on trying to cut down on his chase numbers. That's something that any young hitter kind of has to deal with in their first couple seasons. And then obviously, you know, his speed, his athleticism are great traits for him. So, yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, kind of now 1 month in, like, okay, like Garrett's, he's feeling really good, and he's into like the rhythm of the season and the rhythm of his at-bats at the plate and what he wants to do. So, yeah, this is a very productive stretch for Garrett.
With the schedule for the Brewers the rest of the way, it seems pretty favorable based on the number of home games that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
yeah. I mean, look, there's only 50 games left. That's it. We're in the final 50. Which, yeah, 50 games left. That's it. And you are right. I think that the Brewers were on the road a lot in the first half, and you know, when you think about the division. They've got three left with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I believe they have six or seven left with St. Louis. We'll see the Reds when the team comes back here this weekend, and then up the Cincinnati one more time, and they're done with the Chicago Cubs. So September is very favorable for them in terms of being at home. When we get back from this trip, it's a 10-game homestand. It's going to be a tough one because you're playing some really good teams with the Reds, the Dodgers, and then the Guardians. But yeah, I think, look, the final 50, this is a, you know, they like to say it's a sprint. I don't think that's really fair in baseball, but you know you're getting down to it at this point in the season.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was just 50 games left.
It goes quick.
Yeah, has flown by as the Brewers are prepping for yet another postseason run. Sophia, we always appreciate the time. Love it when you jump on and talk a little Brewers with us each and every Wednesday.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wait. Actually, one more question.
No, you don't have to, Gabe. You don't have to.
It's been the theme of the show.
All right,
I'm ready.
Ahead.
What?
What goes better with tomato soup? Is it a grilled cheese sandwich or a tuna sandwich?
Grilled cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Shocking.
I think you can guess who may have, you know, come up with the idea of a tuna sandwich going with grilled cheese, Sophia. We'll leave that up to you.
But I finally figured it out.
Well, I see the tuna sandwich being like a messy dip into the soup. That's my, I like a tuna sandwich. I'm just, you know, the grilled cheese, the dipping into the soup, that's like part of the whole thing for me.
Yeah, you know what I found
that
it is?
The tuna sandwich is harder, unless you've got a trick here, Chewy.
This is what I figured out, Sophia. It's Dairyland bias. That's all it is. It's Dairyland bias.
Yes. Big Dairyland is conspiring against you today.
Is.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. Okay. With that, Sophia, we can let you go. And maybe someday you can try a tuna and tomato soup.
It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds messy.
It is a little bit. I love a big mess. So.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. Thank you, Sophia.
Thanks, guys.
Always love it when Sophia can join us here on Wednesdays. Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping you feel and perform at your very best. Look, maybe you're dealing with low testosterone. Don't even realize it like I did. My testosterone levels were low. I was feeling tired, groggy, just not like myself. Figured, all right, this is just the new normal. This is what happens when you get older. But it doesn't have to be that way if you work with Mentality like I did. You go through their process, find out if your testosterone levels are low or not by taking a blood panel. And if they are, Mentality will come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. This isn't one size fits all. This is to make sure that your levels are where they need to be for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality at lowtusa.com.